Good evening, and welcome to the February 6th meeting of the Kitsap County Planning Commission. Thank you for your participation. Our first item is introductions. We'll begin online.
Good afternoon. My name is Stacy Smith, representing South Kitsap.
Hi, Stephen Bowe with Central Kitsap.
All right. Commissioner Murphy.
Aaron Murphy, North Kitsap.
Thank you.
Carrie Kaltenborn, South Kitsap.
Alan Bean, Central Kitsap.
Jonathan Tudan, South Kitsap.
And I'm Joe Phillips from North Kitsap. With that, I will go over the hybrid meeting protocols. Please silence all electronic devices during the meeting. If attending in person, please refrain from conversations with other attendees or staff during the meeting. If you wish to comment during the public comment period or testify, we have four methods available. First, for those attending in person, please sign up on the sign-up sheet in the back for the public hearing portion or just motion during the general public comment period. Your name will be called and all right. Second, the virtual attendees use the raise hand button at the bottom of the Zoom window. Your name will be called and your microphone will be unmuted. Third, call-in attendees can signal by pressing *9 on your keypad. Your last four digits of your phone number will be called and you will be connected. You may need to push *6 to unmute your phone. And fourth, written comments, testimony can be submitted to the staff or emailed at awalston@kitsap.gov. by 2 p.m. the day prior to the meeting. Please include the date of the meeting the comments were meant for, your name, and the agenda item or subject you're addressing. The comments will be read at the appropriate time during the meeting they were meant for. All commenters, please state your name and the general area you live in. Comments are limited to 2 minutes in the public comment period and 3 minutes for the public hearing. These times are adjustable by the chair when appropriate. Okay, that brings us to adoption of the agenda. There will be no minutes available for this meeting tonight. And since we have two public hearings, I would like to combine the two general public comments to the last public comment period so that we can move the meeting along. If there's no objections to that, no, okay, then we will move forward with the agenda. That brings us to item F, this Simmons open space applications, and Ms. Kreffels.
Yes, thank you. I'm pulling up the PowerPoint right now. Can you see it?
Not yet.
Okay. Oh, always forget that little share button.
There we go.
All right, great. Okay, good evening, Kitsap County Planning Commission. For the record, my name is Jenny Kreifels, and I am a planner with Kitsap County Department of Community Development. And tonight, I am presenting open space application number 2305197 for Simmons. It's requested by applicants Eric and Jessica Simmons regarding a current use tax exemption for open space in Kitsap County Code 1812. As well as the revised Code of Washington 8434. And the request is to transfer 5.2 of the 19.64 acres currently classified as designated forest land by the assessor's office to a current use open space classification. Transferring out of this designated forest land, I'll call it DFL for here on out. Transferring out of this DFL classification was also a condition of approval to build a single family residence under permit number 2300031. All right, here is a Kitsap County Commissioner District map. The red arrow shows the approximate area within District 3 with an address as 23697 West Ludwig Lake Drive in Seebeck, Washington. The parcel number is 312-402-3015-1008. Here is a critical areas map, which indicates hydric soils at the west and geologic hazard mapping, including sloping in the eastern portion of the site. Wetland reports were submitted with the building permit. Here is slide 4, and the subject site is showed as zoned rural wooded. Therefore, density is one dwelling unit per 20 acres. It is surrounded by rural wooded at the north, east, and west. Mason County is to the south of the perimeter boundary. Excuse me. The land use is single family residential at the north and the east, and there is vacant forest land to the west. The request for reclassification is for tax purposes only and does not change the zoning of the property. This is a vicinity aerial map, and it just gives a good proximity to the Hood Canal. And here is a site plan. To date, the entire 19.64 acre site has been classified as DFL or designated forest land. The area shaded here in green, approximately 5.2 acres in size, is the proposal to be transferred from DFL to what is known as current use open space classification. 1 acre of the property will remain in single family designation for residential use, and 13.44 acres is to remain as DFL. Properties that qualify for current use open space must have at least 2 sensitive resources listed in Kitsap County Code 1812. This land is found to be eligible for open space classification under the qualification criteria set forth by the State of Washington Open Space Act, Chapter 8434, Revised Code of Washington, as well as the Kitsap County Open Space Plan, Chapter 1812, with the 2 high priority resources being wetlands, ponds, and streams, as well as watersheds. Therefore, the Simmons application request has been found eligible for a 50% reduction to the land value. At this time, the property owner does not choose the public access option in exchange of an additional 10% tax reduction. Upon the Planning Commission recommendation, the Board of County Commissioners will have final approval. And slide 8 here shows the 2021 aerial photo. And this is a 1994 Kitsap County aerial photo of the parcel. And according to the tax shift provided, the applicant's annual estimates are currently $5.95 on the 5.2 acres of DFL. The transfer of this 5.2 acres to current use open space would then become $228.34. And this is a result of the 50% reduction. It's important to note the reduction of taxes is dependent on what the classification is currently. In this case, an increase in taxes shows in the tax shift estimate, since the applicants are transferring out of the DFL to the current use open space, whereas a transfer from vacant land classification over to current use open space would show a different rate of reduction. And let's see, here are some wetland photos provided by the applicant. And this is a photo of the wetland buffer provided also by the applicant. And these photos and the following couple of slides are from site visits and photos taken by staff. These here photos are facing the west from the access driveway. And the photos here are along the access driveway at the northern portion of the property. The left photo is looking easterly and shows some utility placement. Photo at the right is facing a small spur area, also shown on the site plan. Both are within the home site area, which is that 1 acre I mentioned earlier. And these are just some additional photos showing the development, which is occurring within that 1 acre home site facing towards the south. Staff asked that the Planning Commission recommend approval to the Board of County Commissioners in order to move the request forward for reclassification of lands from designated forest land to current use open space. And that concludes the presentation. I am available for any questions. Thank you.
All right, thank you for the presentation. At this time, we will open the floor for the public hearing. At this time, I do not see anyone wishing to speak at this time, so we will close the public hearing period and go to our deliberation and recommendations. This time, does anyone have any questions or comments on this open space permit? Nope. Okay. With that, we'll close deliberations and let's see. I need a motion for approval of the permit.
So yeah, so we would be looking for a motion for recommendation of approval as presented by staff.
Right.
I make a motion we approve the permit.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Right. I second it.
All right. Okay. All those in favor of approving the recommendation of approval for the open space application on the Simmons property, please raise your hands. And all right, so that's 7. Anybody opposed? And any abstentions? Commissioner Soler, did you vote in approval? Okay, so it's unanimous for approval in that. We do have a draft finding of facts for this that can be considered at this meeting if that is proposed by a member of the Planning Commission.
I propose that we approve the
findings of
fact. So this is a tricky one where we first need to We need a motion to consider the findings of facts at this meeting, and then if that's unanimously approved, then we can decide if we want to vote on it. First, we have to vote to consider it, and then we have to vote on it.
Okay, so consideration.
I propose we consider findings of fact.
There we go.
Okay, do I have a second?
I second.
Okay, thank you.
Now we call the vote.
Call a vote to consider the finding of facts at this meeting. Please raise your hands for approval. Okay, it's unanimous. Okay,
and
now
a motion to approve the findings of fact as presented.
I make a motion we approve the findings of fact.
Okay. Do I have a second? Okay, thank you. All right. All those in favor of approving the findings of facts as presented in the draft, please raise your hands for approval. Commissioner Soler, Were you? Okay. Okay, it's unanimous. All right, thank you. All right.
Thank you.
All right. That brings us to item G, the 2024 Countywide Planning Policy Housing Allocation. Mr. Cullen Poff.
Thank you. Good evening. Before I get started talking about the housing allocations, I wanted to take a moment to ask about the comprehensive plan. We have our next work session on February 20th, where Eric will be giving a presentation there at that work session. And we just wanted to ask if there's anything that Planning Commission has specifically that they want us to look into or bring to that meeting, that I can relay that information back to Eric.
Is there any concerns from the Planning Commission at this time?
No Jonathan? Concerns.
Yeah, I have one item. Looking at the housing allocations, I mean, that's our major goal, that we're trying to achieve more affordable housing. I'd like to see a relaxation of the ADU fees in the non-urban areas. Currently, they're around $6,000. And once you pay that fee, there's no guarantee you're going to get the approval. Normally, what happens is that follows up with a building permit, additional fees. So if we can just look at a way to relax that that $6,000 number, I would appreciate that.
Okay.
If I could interrupt, technically, this is something that might fall in at the end of the agenda under good of the order, as opposed to in the middle of this agenda item as listed and adopted. So if we could either make a motion now to suspend and discuss it now, or we can wait and pick this back up at that agenda item.
Okay, we can go ahead and Colin, how would you like to?
If there's any other, I have that written down. If there's any other concerns, we can wait until the end for the good of the order to discuss them.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'll just move. We can just move on. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I think we want to behave ourselves with our parliamentarian, and that. So, if you want to begin your presentation.
Okay. Thanks for the opportunity to ask. Appreciate that. I will get started with the housing allocations. I have a short presentation that's going to be similar to one that we had back in November. So I will go ahead and share my screen with that. Okay, can everyone see this okay?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. So just for the record, my name is Colin Poff. I'm the Long Range Planning Supervisor. I'm here today to discuss adoption of housing allocations into our countywide planning policies. So what is changing specifically? Well, the countywide planning policies, no change is proposed to that document, other than the addition of Appendix F at the end, which is just a table with our housing allocations. So at the end of this, I will show that table again. So as a reminder, we met on this issue in November of 2022. To talk about some background for the countywide planning policies document and background for how the housing allocations were developed and what they mean. And then in January, we issued a notice to the Department of Commerce for review of this, as well as a SEPA determination. We did not receive any written comments for either of those. So just a little bit of background, again, briefly for this. The countywide planning policies was a document that was last adopted in 2021. It went through several policy committees at that time. And then in October of 2022, we approved what were called the growth targets for population and employment. So you might recall that I gave a similar presentation in 2022 about population and employment. And now we're back here to talk about housing allocations. The housing allocations were approved by the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council in June of 2023. And then by process, or by the process that's outlined in the countywide planning policies, that's why we're here to adopt them at the county level. So they've already been approved by the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council, but now we go through our own process to approve them here at the county level. And just a reminder that our Board of Commissioners was also part of that Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council board that did originally approve these as well. So that's the background. Just want to talk a little bit about the housing need, as this is what this is all related to. So this started when the legislature passed House Bill 1220, which changed the language from that we need to encourage affordable housing, that we need to plan for and accommodate affordable housing, which is quite a big change, and that now the county needs to show its work for how it's going to actually provide enough units available to different income segments in the population. As you can imagine, affordable housing is not just one city or not just unincorporated Kitsap County, it's a regional problem. So that is why you'd see the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council as the ones that have developed these housing allocations. And as detailed as these housing allocations are, in terms of actually providing numbers for all these income bands, it's just generally speaking, it's clear that there is a need in Kitsap County. Our own housing analysis shows that we're not providing enough affordable units. Units like attached housing or multifamily, missing middle type of housing that could be seen as housing types available to those different income segments. So with that, these housing allocations that we're going to go over here in a minute have been included in a lot of our planning efforts to date. They've been including and shaping our preliminary alternatives that we've discussed with you. Our alternative 2, compact growth alternative, our alternative 3, dispersed growth alternative, those have a relationship to how well they serve our housing need and respond to these different housing allocations. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and just put up the housing table up on the screen and go through it just a little bit as to what we're looking at recommending adoption. Sorry, just a moment. Here we go. Can everyone see this okay? So this is part of our countywide planning policies document. This is just the last page of that document. It is Appendix F, Housing Allocations through 2044. This is the only thing that has changed or that we're considering today. So this table, and I'll go over what some of the columns say again, but just want to say that this table was created through a mathematical approach. The housing allocations were determined based on our population allocation. So the Department of Commerce has a tool, and they call it Allocation Method A, where you use a population projection, and each jurisdiction is assigned a percentage of the housing bands based on its allocated population. So that's how these numbers came to be. So just pointing out a little bit here in how to read this table, and we went over this in November as well. This shows unincorporated Kitsap County as well as all of the cities. The table also shows a row here with the estimated housing supply. That's our housing stock in the year 2020. So that number here, 69,987, that's our estimated housing supply. And then the allocation here on the next row right here is the allocated, our housing allocation through the year 2044, which is our 20-year planning period in our comprehensive plan. So that number is shown here. And then as you go to the right, you see the breakdown by income band. So we have zero to 30%. And at that income band, you're looking largely at permanent supportive housing, as well as non-permanent supportive housing. And then you have 30 to 50% of area median income here, 50 to 80%, 80 to 100%, 100 to 120, and greater than 120, and as well as emergency housing. So that is the breakdown. What this shows just generally, as well as there is obviously a housing need, a large housing need. If you look specifically at that kind of 50 to 80% and under, that's where a lot of that is. And most of that housing at 50 to 80% and under is going to be served by various housing types like multifamily, attached housing, potentially ADUs, and things like that. This housing need does not include rural areas yet. This is for our unincorporated urban growth areas. And so with that, I just wanted to go over that again, and I'm happy to answer any questions at the end if we have about this table. But just generally, this shows the housing need in Kitsap County. This shows kind of implications for how we are planning in our comprehensive plan. And just want to reiterate again, these countywide planning policies and this Appendix F were already adopted by the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council. So we are looking today to recommend adoption of the Appendix F for the county. And and staff would recommend adoption of that Appendix F. And so with that, that's the presentation. Happy to answer any questions. Looks like Commissioner Murphy has one.
Before we do that, we do have a public hearing to go before we can start into deliberations and recommendations. So keep your question in mind, Commissioner Murphy. Do we have anyone wishing to comment on the proposed adoption of the Appendix F to the planning policy? Seeing no one wishing to speak on this.
Well, we do have one.
Just one. Mr. Palmer.
First of all, your agenda is not really clear that this was a public hearing, but one of the comments that I would say, I don't think the Planning Commission has done anything in work study other than deal with the housing portion, and yet the recommendation that the Planning Commission is making tonight is for the entirety of the countywide planning policy. And it's something adds up to a disconnect for me. And I don't think regarding the Appendix F, the housing issues, I don't think that you can really adopt those if you haven't reconciled how much urban growth area you're gonna have after you withdraw all of the, it's not buffers anymore, the riparian zones. You don't have the same amount of buildable area that your buildable lands report said. So I don't think you're ready to adopt anything tonight or recommend adopting it until those kind of issues are reconciled.
Okay, thank you for your comment, Mr. Palmer. Do we have anyone else wishing to speak at this time? Yes. There you go.
Hi, Ian Harkins from the Kitsap Building Association. Colin, you said that the three county commissioners have already approved this via their votes at the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council. So if the Planning Commission were to disagree, I'm curious, what is the remedy for that if it's already been approved by the Board of County Commissioners? Thank you.
Hey, thank you for your comments. We can see, is there anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
I do not see any hands up.
Okay. All right, I'm closing the public hearing at this time. And now we will go into deliberations and recommendations. And I believe that, Colin, if you could address the one question on the public hearing, if possible.
I can't. Hard to say, I guess, to answer that question. The staff could take the recommendation to our board is the answer to that, or if this was to go back to the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council, if it was something that's based on an error that's been made, I think that would be different. If it's something that's based on disagreement with the housing allocations themselves, this was developed by the KRCC over a fairly long process. So I think that would be very challenging to do.
Okay, thank you for that input. Do we have any comments from the planning commissioners on the proposed amendment? Commissioner Murphy.
First point of clarification, Colin, you mentioned that when you're referencing rural Kitsap County or unincorporated, sorry to use a word from the appendix, did I hear you correctly that is still within the UGAs, but in unincorporated county? So can you elaborate on that for the sake of clarification?
Sure, yes. These numbers that you see on the table here, specifically for the row for Kitsap County, is the unincorporated UGAs of Kitsap County. Of course, the cities have their own allocations.
You're not sharing your screen, just if you wanted us to follow along.
I can share it again just to make sure for clarity. Excuse me. So yeah, when you see unincorporated Kitsap County here, that is including the urban, unincorporated urban growth areas. The cities down here have their own housing allocations. But this specifically, we're talking about unincorporated UGAs.
Okay, which I think, you know, sort of leads me to a combination of the same point Ian made, which is to say that what's the point, right? I mean, if this is just an exercise in hand-raising and box-checking, it sounds like we're a little late to the game as far as having any work-study level input. If it's already passed through commissioners at the regional level. And then I do think I'm as confused as Mr. Palmer in this case, where if we haven't defined which of the three approaches we are taking growth on until I think you mentioned at our next meeting that Mr. Baker would have his next presentation.
Yes.
It's hard for me to understand, you know, where we're putting this if we haven't verified the boundary, but we are verifying the number that fits in the boundary. That feels out of order to me.
Yeah, so the different alternatives at this point, alternative two and alternative three have, so this is what you're looking at here is our demand, is our essentially our housing need. Alternative two and alternative three establish land capacity that show how well they meet this need. And alternative two and alternative three have different assumptions built into them. So alternative three has different UGA expansions than Alternative 2. Alternative 2 has different zoning. Alternative 3 also does include an assumption of increased riparian buffers in Alternative 3. So there is a comparison there as to how well those alternatives meet this established need.
Okay, so for sake of, at least in my own mind, it being somewhat, I guess, out of order, I guess I would just say it out loud for the sake of Planning Commission education, that when you see this much of a need, we might want to think about which one of those alternatives makes sense when the need is this great, especially in the 80% and under category for income. And then my last comment, and this, Colin, nothing to do with you, this isn't shooting the messenger, but when we talk about the need for affordable housing, we really need to hold feet to the fire at the jurisdiction when it comes to the cost of doing business with the jurisdiction and the cost of delays and permits coming back three times and the year that you lose while you have interest on a construction loan. Do not lose sight of the big picture when we're putting all those pieces together.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
Do we have any more comments, recommendations on this?
I have a comment.
Commissioner Smith.
Yeah, I want to thank Colin for the presentation. For me, this is a numbers. I mean, this is tied to state legislation, the House bill. It's requiring us to identify our allocation in our bandwidths. You have to start solving this problem with a step forward. I see this as an initial step forward. And then the plan we select is the how we get there. That's, in my mind, how this is all put together. And I think this is, as is pointed out in the executive summary with these documents in the packet, this is the step forward. This is the first step in the process, not the final calculation, not the final solution, but it is pushing us to think about this differently from a state legislative perspective. And I think, you know, in that regard, it has to be done. We have to start and step forward with identifying where the need is and then how we get there. We work on that, you know, as we work through the comprehensive plan process. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that comment. Any other questions, comment? Okay. I will remind everyone that when you look at these numbers, remember you're looking at a 24-year period that number needs to get met by. It isn't 14,000 units that have to be built this year. It's, you know, over a 24-year period, but taking into consideration that these are the projections of the need, starting now makes it doable. If we don't do that, then we're just wandering around without a direction to go in here. So with that said, let's see, we need a
motion to recommend motion. Approval, at least for discussion purposes, right. And then you can have discussion and then the vote can be taken later. And any amendments suggested can be moved after we move to discuss.
All right. So I need a motion to.
A motion to recommend approval.
To recommend approval of the amendment to the planning policy.
I will move to recommend approval of the amendment.
All right. Thank you. Second.
I'll second.
Oh, Commissioner Smith. Thank you. Okay. So we now.
But now discussion opens.
The and if discussion
there's anyone
to
propose any amendments or anything, you can do that too. General discussion or amendments.
All right. So with that, do we have any recommendations to this or comments on this? And that. Okay. So with that, need a now
call the vote.
Call a vote to go ahead and to pass this recommendation. Okay. So all those in favor of the proposed amendment to the policy, please raise your hands. And all those opposed, one. So we have seven approved and one opposed. Okay.
Okay, so motion carries.
Motion carries. So we do have a draft finding of facts. Do I have a motion to consider approving the finding of fact at this meeting?
I move to approve the findings of facts.
Well, to consider
approving.
And do I have a second?
I second the motion.
Okay, great. Okay, all those in favor of considering the finding of facts at this meeting, please raise your hands. And the affirmative, it's unanimous. Okay. Now
motion to approve the findings of
facts. All right. Do I have a motion?
I move to approve the finding of facts.
All right. Second.
I'll second.
All right. All right. So we've considered. So is there any changes, recommendations to the findings of facts?
So you could, there can be discussion. There can always be discussion for amendments, but just to kind of clarify, the findings of fact is not a matter of agreement. It's just finding that it reflects what you recommended. So you recommended approval as presented. So the findings of fact breaks down all those pieces that were recommended. So it's not anything different. It's approving that, it's finding that it factually matches what you approved and recommended.
Right.
Nice and clear and muddy, right?
Yep. Okay. So is there any discussion on this? The finding of facts was presented in the meeting material. And that? No? Okay. All those in favor of approving the finding of facts, please raise your hands in the affirmative. And all those opposed? No, unanimous. Okay. With that, that brings us to our one and only general public comment period. Miss Beth Nichols.
Hello, commissioners. This is Beth Nichols from North Kitsap. And I am wanting to say that our citizen representatives, all of you on the Planning Commission, need to be given the tools to make well-researched, balanced, and wise decisions that rise above personal biases and beyond particular areas of expertise. Unfortunately, I observed when attending these meetings that some of the commissioners appear to have gaps in knowledge around environmental science, climate change science, current biodiversity loss, and legalities around critical areas protections and the Growth Management Act. I'm concerned that these gaps are not producing the best decisions for our county. Several citizens attended the January 16th meeting and made public comment, bringing in other perspectives. At the end of that comment time, a commissioner acknowledged there is a need for the planning commissioners to receive more education and learning about other perspectives to enable them to make conscious and well-informed decisions. I believe the sound and balanced recommendations for the county from the research and fact-finding agency of the county, all of you, cannot be made unless wider education is brought to the Planning Commission. I would like to propose that Planning Commission meetings include robust study sessions with speakers from various perspectives, including best available science and current law behind county land use regulation, tribal treaty rights, importance of wetlands and rationales for those protections, stream and waterway protection, climate change science, hydrology and development impacts on aquifers and water quality, biodiversity loss, and legal requirements for growth management and comprehensive planning. Currently, the Planning Commission is presented with briefings about the ordinances and proposed code changes from county staff, but receive limited science or legal information background and perspectives that help them understand the rationale and necessity for these changes. Deeper understanding in these areas would be valuable and lead to better decisions for the county. I encourage you to pursue seeking out more educative study sessions. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for your comment. Mr. Doug Heyman.
Hello, Commissioners. Doug Heyman from Indianola. I just wanted to briefly say that rarely do I probably agree with people on the far end of the building spectrum, you know, since I'm more leaning towards environmental issues. But I do find that there are some things that seem to be out of sync in this process. I took part in the Critical Area Ordinance Working Group for Fish and Wildlife, and we didn't really decide upon whether riparian management zones were going to be the new thing based on best available science. And yet reading the draft EIS, you know, I was confused to see that only an alternative three are riparian management zones going to be embraced. And so I can find myself in agreement with, you know, the building folks, like, okay, when is riparian management zone going to be implemented as a buffer versus something else? And it just seems like we don't have like the critical area ordinances decided, and yet the comp plan is still being processed. So it would be helpful maybe to have Colin and Eric and others present, you know, what the sequence is going to be, you know, like we'll get the CAO, you know, lined up and then we'll have the comp plan or vice versa, because it seems like there's these things that you all are being tasked with looking at and approving that are going to be based on some of those other, you know, changes being implemented or not. And so I just wanted to say that it's pretty challenging as a citizen to read hundreds of pages on the EIS and the last couple of days reading the comp plan draft. And I don't think most citizens are. So it would be helpful to know just sort of like a summary of this is going to happen and then this, and then the planning commissioners would have, you know, some robust information to make a clear decision from. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your comment. Okay. Any other? Nope. Okay. That will close the public comment period. And now we have, for the good of the order, commissioner's comments. Keep in mind Mr. Poff's request of any interests that could be added to Mr. Baker's presentation next meeting.
I'd like to jump in.
Okay, Commissioner Smith.
So Colin, would you please remind us the work study date? You said February 20th, but I didn't catch the time, location for that work study and the topic again, just as a refresher.
This is a general comprehensive plan work study that would be just held into this hybrid format on the 20th of February.
It's an agenda item for the Planning Commission.
Yes.
So it's an evening meeting, starts at 5:30 for folks who are interested. Yeah. Yes. Thank you very much.
Sorry about that. Thank you.
No problem. Speaking of meetings, I guess I would throw my comment in here. We're on the third meeting of the year. That leaves us with 21 meetings to get all of this looked at, processed, recommendations made. So the clock is ticking on us, and we need to be mindful of that. Any other recommendations, comments? Commissioner Murphy.
I just wanted to say thank you to Ms. Nichols and Mr. Heyman for being a part of the public process. And I completely agree. This is maybe my second or third time, depending on whether we're talking GMA or comp plan. And that's been an ongoing concern when we look at critical path for approval type timelines, that just when we get the information, what information or lack thereof that we get to make an educated decision, that's an ongoing concern that I know we have requested alteration to in the past. And I think I'd like to continue to suggest that more education makes for better decisions.
Okay. Thank you for that comment. Any other recommendation? No? Commissioner Beam.
Just a recommendation for Mr. Baker, particularly in the housing area. You need to figure out how this is going to be implemented, how it's going to be monitored, and how we're going to check status and progress on it, whether that's in the comp plan or how do we make this thing happen?
Sure. Noted that. Thank you.
Okay. Everyone's satisfied with that. Unless I hear an objection, I will close the meeting, and we will see you back on the 20th of February. All right. Good night.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all.